we're trying to figure out how old you were in this picture. I'm interviewing you, and it was probably your first radio interview, and you've got a 96 Rock shirt draped around your shoulders. You're wearing an Atlanta Braves baseball cap. Looks like you're wearing an Eric Clapton t-shirt. Big old feet, but a little body.
Barely touching the ground.
Yes, and you were playing with the Allman Brothers that night at Lakewood Amphitheater. Do you remember that time?
No, I absolutely remember that. I mean, that was maybe the first time I sat in with the Allman Brothers, so that one sticks.
I think it was, and I remember at the time not knowing very much about you, and that's what's so extraordinary about this after all these years and being able to talk to you all these years. Do you remember what it felt like to be on a stage that would have, I'm sure that was sold out every time the Allman Brothers played anywhere, especially at that time with new music coming out and stuff, that they would have been sold out. What did it feel like being maybe 9-10 years old in that picture up on stage in front of a huge crowd playing the guitar?
You know, I honestly never really focused on the crowd all that much, even then. That's why I think I was more intimidated or excited to be on stage with Greg and Dickie and my uncle. And when I first started playing, that was the music that made me wanted to play, and they were really on hiatus then. So when they reformed, it was something that I never thought I would really hear or see. So I'm sure that's what I was focused on. I didn't look up a whole lot. I looked down at my guitar and tried to get it done. That hasn't changed too much.
That is funny. But can you explain to me, as a person, Melissa plays drums, I play guitar and piano. Can you explain to me, as somebody that young, what it was that was in you that made you want to pick up a guitar and be able to play? I mean, it's not easy to play a guitar or to know chords. Was it just something that just came into your heart and head, or how did that work?
You know, there was always music playing in my house, and I could tell how much my parents were moved by certain things. So I think that was maybe the emotional connection. But at that age, you don't really question things. I mean, I played baseball, I played different sports, and I played guitar, and it kind of came easily. So I didn't overthink it a whole lot. I don't think at that time, if you enjoyed doing it and it wasn't overly frustrating, you kept doing it. So I think that's kind of what it was. And, you know, I figured out pretty early on that you could hear things and you could find it on the instrument. And that was always like a small epiphany when you have this melody in your head and you can just find it. And, you know, so I think it was just something that originally you just enjoy doing, and then you get on stage with people, and it's a pretty amazing amount of energy that you can conjure up when things are working. So you get locked into that, and you keep searching for different ways and different levels of that. And, you know, I was lucky to be surrounded by a lot of great musicians right out of the gate, originally just people in Jacksonville, and you start traveling and meeting people. And I think around that time I met Colonel Bruce Hampton, and he was a huge mentor and friend, and, you know, you learn a lot from people like that.
You brought it up, and we weren't sure really how to broach it, because Melissa and I both live in Atlanta, and I just want you to know that we don't ask you any of this lightly. We love Colonel Bruce. We love the Allman Brothers. We love the music. It's part of my life. I mean, I grew up here in Atlanta. The first show I saw was the Allman Brothers, so if you don't mind if we talk about some of the touchy stuff now, but I remember when Bruce passed, I was reading so much, and one of the interesting things about you was when you were very young, you made reference to him, and I was like, I can't believe that Bruce kind of, you were like, he was like your soul connection or something. Tell me about that relationship. When did you first meet Bruce?
You know, I think I met the Colonel when I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, and I mean, really to me and my siblings and really eventually the whole Truck family, at least my side of it, he was a father figure, and I mean, very close. I think he adopted us, and we kind of adopted him in a way. So he was, I mean, there's been a lot of loss the last few years, but the Colonel's thing hit us as hard as anything. I mean, it was, we all spent a lot of time with him. And, I mean, he's somebody that while he was alive, you thought about him every day. You kind of run almost everything you do through this this Colonel Bruce Hampton moral compass, you know, kind of what is your intention? Why are you playing? What are you doing it for? Why are you, you know, even when you, the way you approach a certain song, like why are you doing it? And, you know, he really was about kind of trying to take your ego out of it and make it an honest undertaking, whatever it is that you do. And I think the people that were closest to him, always thought about that. And you always thought about him, and, him going out the way he did was I mean, I can't think of anything more intense. I mean, it was, you know, a highlight, a life highlight for him and for a lot of us, and for it to end that way was pretty, I mean, completely shocking. So, and I mean, in one way, you can't think of a better way to go, but it's also just incredibly tragic. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that are, you know, trying to deal with it. But I just feel lucky to have known him for as long as we did. And, you know, some people, there's just no one else to occupy that space. I mean, he was such a singular human being and just, you know, an important part of music history and just an important person. And for Atlanta, I mean, he was just a total part of that scene, and I can't imagine how it's going to be without him there.
I agree. It's like he's a touchstone or something. You know, there was something about him. What about his humor? That's one thing I always, when I would sit with him or whether see him live or play his music, that humor is very unique, I think, especially in this business.
Totally. And you know, he was just one of those people that made everyone that knew him feel better about things. As absurd as everything was, as dark as everything got, he always found some little sliver of light in it, and he was able to share that with people. I think those are the things you try to carry forward. And but yeah, I mean, anybody that knew him, it's as devastating a loss as anybody. I mean, it felt like when B.B. King passed, you just had that feeling of he's supposed to always be here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was always supposed to balance the scales. As bad as music got, at least BB's here. With the Colonel, it's that feeling too, where you just it's hard to, it really is kind of before and after.
You know, that's
a different era, you know.
That's a really interesting, sweet point, I think. And, you know, if you believe as we do, he's always going to be here and he lives on in us. And I just think that he has a lot of disciples. You know, there are just so many people, especially in this town. But I love knowing that you and Susan were so close to him. And,
Oh, the whole crew and, you know, almost everybody in our band knew him well. But, you know, quite a few of us knew him for a long time and pretty deeply. And, yeah, I mean, you think about him every day. The first day of this tour, Oliver Wood and the Wood Brothers, he gave me this guitar case that's painted with this. It's almost like one of those Catholic prayer candles, but it's got a few pictures of Colonel painted on it. It's pretty unbelievable.
Oh, so wow!
That's cool.
That thing travels in the bus, so he's hanging around.
Oh, you need to post that picture or something. Share it with us because that is wonderful. I love that.
Well, Derek, now coming back to the Fox. This weekend is going to be your first time back here since that happened at the Colonel Bruce show. And I'm sure the Fox has to hold a lot of special memories for you in general and you know, and also with Greg too. And is there going to, I mean, are you already starting to feel like it's just going to be a different kind of show or a special kind of show just because of the environment you're going to be in?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know how you're going to feel when you walk in there. But yeah, I mean, it's something started thinking about almost as soon as we left there is like, the next time you walk in, it's going to be hard to wrap your head around. So, but yeah, it's definitely going to be, it's going to be in the air and on everyone's mind. There's no doubt about it. You know, and with Kofi's situation, you know, who I've been playing with for 18 years or so, just a few days before this tour, he had some major health issues. So he's not going to be out with us. That's going to be strange too. But you know, we'll all go try to visit him while we're there and maybe try to talk him into not coming out to the show. I think it's too soon. In the room, but he's such a soldier. He just wants to get out and play, and I totally understand that, but I think it's time to heal up.
Well, you know, that's the healing part of music. That to me is kind of it too, because I remember, you know, you guys were on the road when all that happened. I guess you probably made a detour coming to the Fox, but you kind of had to, well, you did make the announcement to the fans and stuff. What about when there's tragedy? And I know in my life, just in the past couple of years, I've lost people very close to me, and it's been, you know, it's a trip, but you're quite a bit younger than I am. Performance for you, when you perform, is that a very healing thing for you?
It is, you know. I think for everyone on stage and everyone involved on our end, it's important to get out and play. It definitely something very cathartic about it, but you can feel it in the audience too. I mean, people like Bruce and Butch and Greg, I mean, they meant a lot to a lot of people for a long time. So when you get out and acknowledge those things or play some of that music, you can definitely tell it helps a lot of people in a lot of different ways. So I know going out on this tour, everyone was ready to get out and hit the road together and play. It definitely helps things. I mean, and there's certain tunes that you play that that's just kind of cut right to the chase.
Yes.
I remember when people go, it's a lot of times when you first start listening to a certain song that reminds you of somebody, or that's kind of when it all hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it gets you. So it's, you know, it's no different for us. And sometimes playing those tunes, it can be hard to get through certain tunes or certain portions of it. But I think it's all part of the process.
I've got to tell you a moment. Melissa and I were at the funeral in Macon, and I'm sure you realized this was happening, but I don't. You guys were walking away, and the freight train went by.
Yeah, pretty intense. That whole day
It was such a cool moment. It was just like Greg was just sort of saying, yep, this is
oh my God.
This is it.
We were just chilled to the bone. We couldn't believe it. It was almost like on cue.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of parts of that day that felt scripted.
Really?
But could not possibly have been. So, that was an intense day, you know. That was an intense day.
It had to be. I would think that with your family, that there's got to be peace in that, too. You know, number one, that are you all still bringing your kids out on the road with you?
Oh, yeah, summertime. The kids are out.
Ah, yeah, so they are. And that has got to be part of your process, too, is that you've got these young people that you have to just kind of keep moving forward for, right?
No doubt about it. They're good kids. And I mean, they grew up. They knew Colonel from birth, and they knew Greg and Butch from birth, so it hits them directly, too. But you're right. You have to, when you get home and there's a end-of-year test and there's all kinds of things, you have to jump right back in. there's no time to wallow in it. So that's,
keep you honest. Yeah. Do either of your kids...
Get back on the horse.
Do either of your kids have any of your skills, you or Susan's?
You know, they're pretty sly about it. they listen to a lot of great music, and they're definitely moved by it, and they play a little bit, but they don't bust it out. But they're into their own things. I mean, they're 15 and 12 and just on.
It's a great time for music, isn't it, for them?
That's right.
What's it like, Derek, being on the road with, you know, you got 13 people in that band? I know the Wheels of Soul has always sort of been a bigger entourage, but that's got to be fun, I would think, having all those people to hang out with all the time.
You know, it's great. I mean, it's intense. It's a lot of personalities to keep moving in the right direction, but when it works, there's nothing like it. I mean, it really is an amazing group of people, and you know, when it's all lining up musically, it is a powerful sound. I love it, though. It's kind of what you've always wanted to do, but you just couldn't make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're giving it a whirl now, but it seems to just be getting stronger as it goes, and everything that's in the air the last few years, I think that makes things tighter and closer, and it kind of makes you lean on each other in a different way. So I feel like that's when you can tell if something's healthy or not. When things get hot and things start fracturing, I think you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But it's in a healthy spot right now. So we're just, you know, you try to keep writing and keep playing and keep digging and keep the flames lit. That's what we're out here trying to do.
The first time you guys went out on this tour, you had the amazing Sharon Jones with you. And I always thank anybody who brought her out on tour because it meant I got to see her live.
Totally.
But how do you kind of decide, you know, who you're going to bring out with you? How did it work out this year that Hot Tuna and the Wood Brothers were able to join you?
You know, when we first thought about doing this tour, and it was that year with Sharon, we just wanted to hit the road with two other bands that we wanted to watch play every night and hang out with. So, it was selfish on some level. You just, who do you want to be out with for a month or two and share the stage with and learn from? And so it's a pretty short list. You know, there's about 10 or 15 bands that when we first started compiling it that we would all be into spending that much time with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hot Tuna and the Wood Brothers were on it from the very beginning. A lot of it's just who's available when and how it will work out. But we've been really lucky. I mean, Doyle Bramhall and Sharon Jones the first year was just an amazing tour. And then last year with North Mississippi and Los Lobos, you just can't think of better people to be on the road with. I mean, they're all lifers. This is what you do, and you charge down the road, and But just musically, you stand side stage every night. You watch all the band members that aren't on stage playing. They're usually all watching the other group. So that's kind of how we put these tours together. It's like, where's there going to be a lot of mutual musical respect?
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of tour. I mean, when Jack Cassidy and Yorma are up there, there's all the bass players are watching Jack and all the guitar players are watching Yorma. And it's the same when the Wood Brothers are on stage. Everyone else is side stage or floating around listening, and that's a good sign. And, there's starting to be a lot of sit-ins, and the days off are fun. So it's a great tour that way.
Does the set list change very much? I know the day that Greg died, it was actually the opening of the tour, and you opened the show with an Allman Brothers song. And is that something that you might do here just because of where you'll be, or do you guys typically shuffle the set list depending on where you are?
We write a different set every day and to keep it interesting for everyone involved. But yeah, I mean, where you are plays a big part in that. I mean, being in Atlanta, being on the Fox, being on that stage again, I mean, we'll be thinking about, there'll be a lot of things we'll be thinking about when you write that set list.
What made you choose Sweet Virginia? I had to laugh that it was great. And by the way, I'm sorry, I wasn't familiar with the Wood Brothers. Who's Oliver Wood?
Yeah.
Is he the singer?
Yeah, Oliver is great.
What a voice on that guy.
See, yeah, he spent a lot of time in Atlanta. When I first met Oliver, he was playing with Tinsley Ellis, who's
he's a good friend of mine, Tinsley.
Player.
Yeah.
One of the first records I ever recorded on was a Tinsley record. He was always really sweet and gracious and a great friend of the Colonel going way back.
Yep.
So there's a lot of history there. But, yeah, Oliver's an amazing songwriter, singer, guitar player. He used to hang at Northside Tavern a lot with Donnie McCormick, so there's a lot of Atlanta history with this group of people on stage.
Oh,
so the,
wow.
The Fox will be quite a trip for a lot of reasons.
Oh, I'll bet. And then again, that Stones tune, he and Susan together singing that, I was like, wah!
Yeah, that's pretty great. And, that tune came up, Mike Madison brought it up just because it sounded like a good rowdy sing-along with everybody, and he was right.
Yes!
That was a lot of fun to play.
Now, Derek, I'm the sports fan in the room here, so...
Oh, wait a minute now.
Okay, I'm the crazy football fan in the room.
Wait a minute now.
I know you're a big Braves fan, so we'll talk about them in a second, but I want to talk about the Jaguars for a second. Is this the year? Is Blake Bortles finally going to, do something impressive? And Allen Robinson, should I put him on my fantasy team? What do you think?
I believe in the defense. I'm not sure about the offense. Yeah. I mean, Allen Robinson is an amazing athlete.
He is.
But somebody has to throw the ball to him, so we'll see. if we bust 500, I will do backflips. I just want to be a 500 team. It could be the year, but I'm not overly optimistic after the last 8 or 10.
I know.
Tell me about the Braves. Have you been to the new stadium?
Yeah, I finally went a few weeks ago. I loved it. I love the new spot. I got to admit, I went into it wanting to hate it.
Yes, I know, yeah.
The whole concept of moving out there just didn't seem right, but I did enjoy the game quite a bit. And it's a fun team to watch. I mean, I feel like really the first time since the early 90s where there's a lot of young talent, and it feels like there's a chance it could go. Maybe not this year, but
we're always wishing. But you're right. I think you're right. I think it's a turning point. I hope it is.
It is. And, their record is not that much different than, the world champion Cubs. So.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And there's a lot of baseball left this year. All-star break.
Yep.
There you go.
8.5 back. We can do this.
There you go.
We might sneak in a wild card this year.
And even if it's a quick exit, at least they got there,
Yeah. No, it'd be fun to see a playoff game again.
And you'll be off tour by then, right? By the time.
Oh yeah, I'll be out front trying to scalp a ticket with my son.
Oh, there you go. I love that.
Well, I have one more question for you, Derek. So you guys released the live album earlier this year. Are you working on anything studio-wise once you get off the road?
Yeah, we already started kind of writing and making demos for a new record. We were going to head back in at the end of this tour and maybe start a record, but with Kofi's situation, we're going to kind of ease back on the gas and wait till he's up and ready. But I think the studio is a great way to kind of ease back in with him. So I'm excited for that.
Oh,
I think that'll be, later this year. But everyone's thinking about a record. We're ready to get back in.
Is there anything that you want to say specifically to Atlanta fans that maybe are a little bit more special to you than others?
Well, I mean, Atlanta's been hometown of at least half the band ever since I started playing. You know, every band I've been in has been Atlanta's been the co-home base. So it's always nice to get home, and it's always mayhem because it's an extended family reunion. But I think that adds to it, and a lot or most of our musical history is firmly rooted in Atlanta or things that have gone on there. So it's always good to get back and kind of tap back in. And I mean, the Fox is a special spot too. We've had great shows there over the years, and it holds a unique place, that's for sure.